319-366-1600. That is the number to know. If you have fantasy football questions, you have a draft coming up, you've drafted, and maybe you want your team graded. I don't know. Matt might do that for you. You can send your questions to the text line. You can pick up the phone and give Isaac a call. He'll relay the question over the air if you want to do it that way, too. But 319-366-1600, a little fantasy draft help, fantasy football advice Q&A session with Matt Schaaf from DraftSharks.com here on the show on 1600 ESPN. Matt, appreciate the time. How you doing?
I'm doing great. I mean, it's the middle of draft season. That we're about to take my oldest to school for the first time tomorrow, so a lot going on. But like I said, it's draft season, so we're talking football.
Absolutely. I'm curious, as a fantasy football guy, a guy who works in fantasy football, provides content for fantasy football, how many leagues are you in? How many teams do you own? Or do you just skip it all together and just focus in on the content side?
Oh, I sure don't skip it all together, but it's funny because I get that question this time every year, and I'm like, I'm not sure how to answer that now, because there's certainly a number of leagues that I play out through the season, but with like the best ball tournament sites that you just draft a bunch of teams on, I mean, it's a whole lot more teams than usual that I just don't do anything with after I've drafted them. So as far as the teams that I'm actively managing throughout the season, it's probably right in the range of 11 to 13, which I've managed to not grow larger and whittled down a bit.
How do you keep track of 11 to 13 teams? Because I barely keep track of one.
Not well.
That seems like the answer I expected there. Let's get to the questions. First up on the text line, Matt, was 1971 on the text line. Again, 319-366-1600. They're in a keeper league and need to keep two of the three. The options they gave are James Cook, Josh Allen, or Devontae Adams. Keeper league, need to keep two of those three.
Yeah, so we have a keeper calculator on DraftSharks.com that I love plugging all of the details into to get the best answers for this. In this particular case, I would probably keep Devontae Adams, and it's close between Josh Allen and James Cook, but I think I would lean Josh Allen because I'm a little bit wary of James Cook regressing from last year, where he scored big time, but it was really carried by touchdowns. He was at, I believe it was RB27 in expected fantasy points per game, and that is measured by the actual touches a guy gets, how many, and where they come on the field. So he scored a lot more touchdowns than you would expect from the way he was used. And so that's naturally likely to regress this year. So I think he's just going to be an okay player for us in 2025.
319-366-1600. If you have a fantasy draft question, you want to rate your team or Matt to rate your team, you could certainly do that as well on the text line. We've had a lot of quarterback news. I'm going to lump the first two into one because they're kind of in the same boat, maybe kind of a reclamation project or a guy who's on his way out. But Daniel Jones, Joe Flacco, both named starters this week. I imagine the fantasy value for both Danny Dimes and Mr. Elite himself is probably very low, Matt, but what, from a fantasy perspective, can we glean from the news coming out of Indy and Cleveland this week?
Yeah, you should try not to use either one in a one quarterback league. They both could be very late options in a super flex league, or certainly two quarterback where you need to start two every week. I think what's good is that Daniel Jones getting named the starter is good news for Josh Downs, the wide receiver for the Colts, as well as Tyler Warren. Those particular guys look like they're in for a good number of targets over the middle, and Daniel Jones has been a short-range passer in his career. So I like him being chosen for them and for Jonathan Taylor, actually. That should be good for his carries, should be good for rebounding his reception total over last year. Joe Flacco, I think, similarly positive for the pass catchers in Cleveland, Cedric Tillman, Jerry Jeudy, David Njoku. Obviously not great news, but I think it's a lot better if it's Joe Flacco than if they went Kenny Pickett or really trusting either of the rookies. I wouldn't be surprised if they try a rookie in Cleveland at some point this year, although I think that team has a chance to at least be competitive.
When it comes to the rookies, obviously I think most people are looking at Shedeur Sanders in Cleveland. I mean, is there any fantasy value to maybe drafting and stashing Shedeur or maybe Dylan Gabriel there? I think Shedeur would probably be the higher of the two, right?
I like Dylan Gabriel better. They drafted him two rounds earlier. I think both guys played very similarly in their limited preseason action. Shedeur Sanders is the one that gets talked about a lot, but there's been no indication from Cleveland that they feel stronger about him than they do about Gabriel. And Gabriel was a highly successful college quarterback as well, who also put a little bit of rushing value up. So most likely neither of them turns into any real fantasy asset, and I wouldn't be stashing either outside of Dynasty at this point. But for me, it's Gabriel a little bit ahead of Shedeur Sanders. And then, I mean, they're both way down the board.
319-366-1600, fantasy football question and answer. If you have a draft coming up, you want some advice on strategy or players to target, or you have keeper league questions, feel free to ask away on the text line or give Isaac a call, and we'll relay it over the airwaves to Matt from DraftSharks.com. Ryan on the text line, they have the first pick in their draft, full PPR. Two running backs, two receivers, two super flex spots. Ryan asking, Matt, who would you take with the first pick?
Well, if it's super flex, I'm taking Lamar Jackson first overall. Very close between Lamar Jackson and Josh Allen. But really, anywhere in that top 5 to 6, I'm starting quarterback if I have to start two of those on a weekly basis.
Speaking of rookie quarterbacks and speaking of quarterbacks in general, are you buying the Jackson Dart hype train? Are you climbing aboard? Are you buying a ticket? Or what are we looking at fantasy-wise? Obviously, Russ and Jameis Winston are the two that I think most people are watching. Probably a lower-end fantasy play there, but Jackson Dart has people talking, Matt. Is there any reason that folks should be looking in his direction maybe in the later rounds?
Yeah, I'm absolutely on the Jackson Dart hype train. I expect that Russell Wilson's going to open the season as the starter because the coach and the GM might be on the hottest of seats of anybody in the league. So they're going to start with the safest bet to open the season. But Jackson Dart has played well in the preseason. There's a reason they traded up into the first round to get that second pick to draft him. He was a very productive college quarterback. And most importantly for fantasy, he was very productive passing deep and running with the ball. And those are two great areas for putting up fantasy production. So even though we can't expect him to be huge in real football in his first season, I think he's going to be good fantasy-wise. And historically, we see those first-round quarterbacks get a shot at some point in their rookie season. It's very rare for, like, you know, Patrick Mahomes or Jordan Love or Aaron Rodgers a while back to have to wait a while to get that starting nod.
What do you make of a guy like Travion Henderson? I was reading some stuff around the internet prepping for my draft and saw him on a top 10 draft target list for some sources out there. Travion Henderson, probably RB2, I would imagine, but what's the viewpoint from Draft Sharks on a guy like Henderson?
I like him very much as the player, but he's going a little bit too early in drafts to actually be a value because we don't know just how many touches he's going to get, you know, working alongside Ramondre Stevenson. I don't think they're going to make him a feature back, which, you know, at least puts a question mark on how much he gets the ball week to week and how much we can rely on him in our lineup. So if he's going inside the top 24, there's definitely risk. There's upside, but there's going to be risk. So you're going to have to be careful about how you draft him.
319-366-1600. Still some time to get a fantasy football question in if you're prepping for your draft here in the next couple weeks before the season starts up the first week of September. Another rookie that I know has had a pretty solid camp. He started injured, but has come on and has impressed, and a lot of hype coming his way. Speaking of hype trains and hype and excitement, Luther Burden for the Bears. Bears, of course, have Rome Odunze and DJ Moore. I know last time we had you on, we talked a little bit about Colston Loveland for the Bears, too, at the tight end spot. But what do you make of Luther Burden and his fantasy possibility to make an impact in fantasy with Chicago this year?
I'll say that my colleague Jared Smola is big on Luther Burden and really likes him as a late-round pick. And I think he's fine where you would take him and stash him on your bench and see what happens. I'm skeptical that he's going to turn into a usable fantasy asset for redraft leagues this year because it's crowded there, because Roma and DJ Moore are likely ahead of him. They still got the tight ends to involve. The running backs, we'll see what the run-pass split looks like. It is the first year of Ben Johnson and his OC being in Chicago. So, you know, everything is question marks. We're waiting to see exactly how things go. So I think Luther Burden's a talented guy. Maybe he turns into something this year, but I think more likely you should be looking longer term for him.
319-366-1600, fantasy football question and answer here with Matt from draftsharks.com. Are there any rookies? I know last time you mentioned and made Iowa State fans happy by talking about Jaden Higgins and Jalen Knoll with the Texans. Are there any later round rookies, maybe day two, day three picks that have impressed you in camp so far that might be worth a look for folks in fantasy as they're prepping for their draft this year, Matt?
I mean, Ja'Cory Kroski-Merritt, the seventh-round pick for Washington, is making a lot of noise, and now we've got the buzz about Washington apparently being ready to move on from Brian Robinson Jr., so that's going to push somebody in that backfield into higher usage than we were projecting for them. Seems like they really like Ja'Cory Kroski-Merritt. I wonder if that's going to make him too expensive on draft day, but if you can get him in, like late RB4, especially RB5 range, that's a good guy to invest in. Tough for me to pinpoint any other specific rookies in that range because there are some other guys like Woody Marks, Trey Harris that I want to like, but it doesn't seem like their teams are quite as high on them at this point. So those might be guys that you stash way down your roster and then wait until later in the season and see if they get opportunities.
Isaac, you had a question?
Yeah, I wanted to ask you about what like Matthew Stafford's injury implications means for the Rams skill position players. Like, does that ding Puka Nacua, Davante Adams, or even like boost someone like Kyren Williams up, considering Matthew Stafford is injured now, he's fairly old, maybe he gets injured again sometime during the season. What does that mean for their draft value at all?
I was a little worried about especially Davante Adams, but also to some degree Puka Nacua, and I mean the whole offense. I don't think it would be good for anybody on the offense if Matthew Stafford were missing some time and Jimmy Garoppolo were in there. But since Matthew Stafford did return recently, he's apparently looked good in practice. He's played through injuries a lot of times in his career, so I guess I would put him high on the list of guys that we can trust to go ahead and keep playing. Of course, a back injury is iffy. I'm not personally drafting Puka Nacua any later than I was before. I'm a little bit more hesitant on Davante Adams, but we had that keeper question earlier, and I said I'm willing to keep him in the range where he's going, so I'm not super worried. And similar with Kyren Williams. I mean, he's going to be getting the ball. I think even if Jimmy Garoppolo were in there, the offense would take some hit most likely, but I think it's one of the few offenses that would be most ready to still be close to its usual effectiveness with that backup in there.
Speaking of, and maybe not necessarily a don't draft list, I think we talked about that or a similar question last time, but what are the riskiest picks from your perspective at Draft Sharks, or riskiest players to target, I guess is a better way to put it, as people are drafting their teams? Are there some players that you're just kind of like, okay, they might have some value, but you're taking a big risk on selecting them to your team on draft night?
Yeah, I focus especially in the early rounds for this. And one guy that I'll name that most people don't want to name is Jahmyr Gibbs right in the middle of round one. Before David Montgomery went down at the end of near the end of last season, Gibbs was running as RB20 in expected points per game. And I mentioned before that's, based on the number of touches and where they're coming on the field. Gibbs was running behind David Montgomery in terms of how much he was getting the ball and where he was getting the ball. He was outscoring those expectations, and I think he's good enough to keep doing that. But now that you have to take him as the third running back off the board in the middle of round one, ahead of some stud wide receivers, for me, that's too much risk if the usage does fall, if the offense isn't quite as efficient as it was last year, because the whole offense scored more touchdowns than it should have, based on how things went last year. So I think there's team regression. I think there's player regression coming there. And in the middle of round one, that's too much risk for me. Bucky Irving, similar risk in the middle of round two. I love the player. I'm not sure he's built to be a workhorse over the course of the season, though. So I'm worried about spending a mid-round two pick to get him and take that risk. And then one more running back that I'm not drafting is Chuba Hubbard, who's, a little bit less risky just because he's going a little bit later than those guys. Specific risk on him is I think they're going to take some receiving work away from Hubbard. So if you play in a non-PPR league, it's less of an issue. But if you're playing full PPR and even half PPR, I think they're trying to give more of that to Rico Dowdle, to Trevor Etienne if he proves ready, because Chuba Hubbard has not been very good in the passing game over the past few years.
I'll squeeze one more question in for the text line, then I'll let you go, Matt. 5329 asking specifically about the Jets. Their question is basically, assuming the Jets are going to use their running backs like the Lions did, who would be Gibbs and who would be Montgomery? And then who would we rather have? The depth chart showing Breece Hall, Braylon Allen, Isaiah Davis, and Kanane Wongwu, at least according to ESPN.com. Basically, Who would you rather have of the Jets running backs, and who maybe is the better fantasy option out of that grouping?
I mean, you're paying a lot more to get Breece Hall. I think he'll be the more productive. He would be the Jahmyr Gibbs in that kind of setup. I would hope that Braylon Allen's not going to quite get as much work as David Montgomery, because that would make it a really tough backfield in which to like anybody. Because the one big difference, well, actually two big differences between the Jets and the Lions, this offense is probably not going to be anywhere near as good as last year's Detroit offense, which led the league in scoring and boosted everybody. Here, we also have a running quarterback who historically that archetype takes targets away from running backs, will probably take some, you know, opportunities near the goal line away from the running back. So for me, it's really more of an avoid the situation. And I guess because of the prices that they're going at right now, Braylon Allen is fine to stash on your roster, but I wouldn't plan to start him early in the season.
Matt, what could folks find from DraftSharks.com as they're prepping for the draft and also prepping for the start of the season?
You can find everything you need. We have the Keeper Calculator, which I mentioned earlier. We have our rankings, of course, for every format. We have the ADP Market Index, so you can look at not only where guys are ranked, where they're going, but who we view as values and who we see as guys that you should pass at their draft price. Because really, drafting is at least as much about value as it is about players that you like. I don't like or dislike players. I like or dislike their market values.
Matt, appreciate it, and you're going to be joining us weekly throughout the season, so we'll talk to you in a couple weeks for our first fantasy Q&A to set some lineups. How about that?
It sounds great. I can't wait to see how our teams turn out that we work so hard on drafting this month.
Absolutely. Thanks, Matt. Appreciate it. Matt Shaw from DraftSharks.com. Again, DraftSharks.com, place to find all the different content he mentioned there. They do great podcasts and lots of social media content as well. We appreciate him taking some time answering your questions. And like I mentioned earlier in the show, Wednesdays at 5:10 is going to be our Q&A segment with Matt. So put that in your phone, put that on your calendar, and I hope to see many of you asking questions coming up during the football season. Should be a great time as always. And I gotta create my team and join a league. I just joined a random league last year, and it was okay to start, and then things turned very terrible. Hoping for better things in 2025. We'll see how we do, but appreciate Matt joining the show.